We on now? Mm-hmm. All right. We're Brockless. So we're really suffering this morning. And I'm asking you all, before I get to opening prayer, let's try not to bother Brock this week. He's on vacation. He hardly ever gets a chance to do that. And I'm probably the most guilty person of calling him whenever I feel like it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful we're able to gather here this morning and give you praise. To gather here to worship you, to thank you. To be in the house of the Lord with the family of God, we are blessed beyond measure. Lord, open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer cards are in front of you in the chair. Pull them out, write up prayer requests, and we'll have the kids gather them up a little bit here. Before we get to that, today is Children's Sunday. So the children are going to gather up be our ushers today, and they're going to gather up the prayer cards as usual. And we need to be remembering that our children are just as much a part of the church as we are. So, praise team. Children are dismissed. It was Children's Sunday. You know when I realized this? At 7 o'clock this morning. Well, I a little bit last night, and then I forgot about it again because I slept. Is this on? No, still not on? Okay, then we're not going to worry about it. If I leave it on, I'll forget.
I did what I could.
We miss you, Brooke. Open your Bibles with me to James, please. James chapter 2. We're going to finish up chapter 2 today. I want to read to you verses 19 through 26. Yeah, James 2, 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Some of your translations say spies. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. Last week, we saw how dead faith, or we talked about dead faith, faith without works, and how faith apart from works cannot help our fellow brothers and sisters, our neighbors, or ourselves. That dead faith sends the hungry away unfed, and the poorly clothed away just as they were when we met them. We hopefully discovered that we need saving faith. A faith that takes action. A faith that results in action. Works, right? Works that result from your faith. Faith that results from your works. In my preaching last week, I pray and I hope did I not give the impression that works are better than faith, or that faith is better than works? My intention is with James, that faith in and of itself is not real apart from works, separated from works. It is not works instead of faith, or faith instead of works. It is faith and works together. Works that result from your faith, that prove your faith is true and it is working. While James is dealing with those close to home in verses 1 or 14 through 18, our brothers and sisters, right? That's what he was talking about. He now moves on to that saving faith or working faith that deals with our relationship with God. It is one thing to have the knowledge of God, to know about His promises, to know about His wrath, and walk in faith, taking action because we know those things. It is another to know all of that and do nothing. Verse 19. You believe that God is one and you do well. We'll get back to that. Okay? You do well. You believe that our God is one and you do well. Okay, I want to stop it right there. Having the knowledge of God is great. It's well, right? But doing nothing with it will not get you saved. Doing nothing with that faith will not get you saved. Remember what we read last week, or I read to you from John 3:36? The first part says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And yet verse 19 here tells us even the demons believe and shudder. Whoever believes and the demons believe. Well, what's the difference? They're both believing. They both sort of have faith. I mean, they know He exists. The difference is context. We need to take it in context of what is being said. So both the demons and whoever, that's whoever, right? Whoever believes. So both the demons and whoever believe. The demons know of God, but have chosen rebellion and disobedience, and they fail to love God. Now, the rest of John 3:36, I'm going to read it with all of it together. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, or rejects the Son, the NIV says, shall not see eternal life, but the wrath of God remains on him. This is why context matters. That's why I always want you to read your Bibles, read it in context. Just don't take a verse out of the thin air, you right? As I have been quoting to you, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep or obey my commandments. Love comes back down to obedience when we're talking about the Lord. We talked about who was our master this morning in class. Whatever masters you is your master. For the world, it's sin has them. For us, it's to be God. We were bought at a price. We belong to Him. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if you go to Luke, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. In Romans 8:28, God says, all things work to the good of those who love Him. And who are those that love God? What did I just tell you? Those who are obedient. I told the class this morning, you're getting part of the sermon. This was it. Oh, those who are obedient, doers of the word. Doers of the word, not just hearers, doers. Those whose faith is seen in what they do by their actions, by works. Show me your faith apart from your works. Show me your faith apart or without works. It is your actions that prove your faith. That clearly demonstrate what you truly believe. Jesus told us that if we are to come after Him, to be where He is, that we have to crucify the flesh, right? That's basically what He tells us when He says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Now, I told the class this morning that I've heard wives and husbands, let's put it this way, I've heard spouses say about the other half, that's my cross to bear. And they seem so humble about it, and they, you know, that's my cross to bear. That's not your cross. That's your spouse. The cross that you're to bear is the cross of Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what we should be able to say. That cross that we're to bear is what we're supposed to bear daily, mind you, is to crucify the flesh on a daily basis. Because this flesh here wants what it wants. And let me tell you, National Donut Day was last week, and I missed it. And the flesh was mad. Oh, you laugh. Show me your faith apart from works. Wow. Your actions, or lack thereof, are a testimony of what you truly believe. You should write that down because that's important. My actions, or lack thereof, are a testimony to what I truly believe. More is caught than taught. You know, with kids, we tell the kids not to do something and then we go around and doing it. My dad was real good with smoking. Don't smoke. I never did. Can't say that about my siblings. Moving on. In John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Our love of one another is a witness to the world. I so want to get away from this, Mike. When we gather here for the Day of Hope, I'm giving you an example. When we gather here for the Day of Hope, fresh food, we're just going to call it the Day of Hope. When we gather here as family, as the church, we are a witness to every single person that comes through these doors and drives through our driveway. We're showing them that we can work together, have fun together, and if you went to the baseball game the other night to see Travis play, laugh with each other. It was awesome. We get together, we have a great time. You're missing out when you aren't able to make to the functions that the church does. I want you to know that I am a target. Thank you. What was said this morning? How did you say that this morning? Oh, yeah, get used to it. She complimented another lady's hair, and I said, "Nobody ever said anything about mine." And she said, "Get used to it." Ouch. That's love. It is. It really is. We need to come together and be the church to be a witness. Apart from a changed life, you are no better off than those that shudder in the knowledge of God. Working faith within the believer influences behavior, influences your choices, and it influences your attitude. Working faith is meant to transform us as we follow Christ in obedience. We are born again, made new, and given a new life by faith. Not dead faith. Faith that believes. Faith that is believing. Faith that is in action. The demons have the knowledge of God, and in that knowledge they shudder, as I said, because they remain as they are. rebellious in their actions, turned away from God and seeking to do the will of their master to kill, steal, and destroy. Their knowledge of God does not change them, their attitudes, or their actions. Dead faith is a type of faith that is easy to hold on to. It's easy to claim, but it doesn't do anything in lives, yours or your neighbor's. It doesn't change the choices they make or you make. Didn't Jesus say that you will know a tree by its fruit? Yeah. If the tree is still bearing bad fruit, still the same old gnarled and twisted mess it has always been, if there is no change, no new life, then it hasn't been born again. The opposite happens to us as true followers of Christ. We may be gnarled and twisted and a mess. But Christ takes that mess and he makes something wonderful out of it. He does that in each one of our lives. You see, change has and is taking place in each and every believer. It starts with a denial of self. Abraham was justified by faith in action, works. God told him to go right off the bat, right? And he went, not knowing where he was going, just took a step of faith. And then God told him what he was to do, and he set out to do it. In both cases, in the one we're talking about here, he was willing to sacrifice his son. He believed and was obedient. How often do you know what God has said to do, and yet you don't do it? I mean, we're pretty good about the don't do's. But are we doing what we're called to do? You have the very will of God for you and in His Word, right? In and through His Word. You know what God wants for you. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And we're to live a life of repentance. We're to live a life of faith, a life of obedience, of love for our neighbor, a life of kindness and understanding, patience, long-suffering. I like long-suffering better because it sounds better, and it's actually more true. And it's usually because of something we've done. If we look at Abraham's example, we see that works of obedience provide evidence that faith is true. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. A faith that works. Saving faith is what we're to have and to practice. I debated on going back into Joshua and reading about Rahab. But for timely matters, I'll leave that to you because I know that you're all doing the further reading. Yes, thank you. That being said, the last verses of this chapter deal with compassion, the compassion of Rahab. We're called to, Jesus was compassionate, right? We all know that. It says it throughout the Bible. He had compassion on, and it goes on from there. Rahab had compassion for the Israelite messengers or spies that Joshua had sent out into Jericho. She hid them from the soldiers that were searching for them and then sent them out a different way. Don't go out through the gate, go a different way. There is no record of her ever professing faith in the one true God until she after she had hid the spies. The moment she believed, she did what? She took action. The first opportunity she had, actually. Because it says that she went up on a roof after she'd hid them and told them, I know that what you have done. We've seen what God has done and all the things. And she goes through it all, and I'll let you read that. It's in chapter 2 of Joshua. It's part of your further reading. We too should act with compassion to those lost and serving the enemy. I'm mixing the metaphor a little bit here, but bear with me. We, like Rahab, should invite them, those outside the church, to be with us. Teach them the truth and allow them to make their minds up to follow Jesus or return to the world. If we do nothing else, if we do that, if we're doing nothing else, if nothing else, we're at least planting seeds. Brock's going to yell at me for stepping away from the mic. Again, faith and works acted together. Rahab is called a prostitute in Joshua, right? Do you know that she's listed among the faithful in Hebrews? Did you know that she's the great-grandmother of David, who is in the lineage of Jesus the Christ? Because of what? Her faith. Her faith. Rahab had a working faith. She had heard of God and of the Israelites and all they had done, and she believed. She believed. She then claims protection and does her best to meet the needs of God's people at personal risk to herself. Because it's the king who said, it says the king asked her, but the king wouldn't go and ask her. Kings don't go to prostitutes. The king sent his soldiers. They interrogated her, wanted to search the place, which she let them. Where did they go? Out the gate. And she sends them off. She was fulfilling the royal law and probably didn't even know it, to love her neighbor as herself. I found that one of the most intriguing things that I was doing in my studies was like, wow. What are the needs within our fellowship here? Think about that. What are the needs here? What can you do to meet those needs? Are you willing to do so at personal risk, like Rahab? Or is your faith a faith of words only? Be warm and well fed. For as the body is apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. When we die as Christians, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. The body apart from the spirit is dead. But if you die apart from Christ, your spirit does not go to be with the Lord. You will experience eternal destruction, darkness, hellfire, where the worm does not die. That sort of implies torture to me. Separated from God and without hope is how 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 puts it. Because if you're separated from God, there is no hope. The body cannot function apart from the spirit. Unity of body and spirit are required for life. Faith and works are what must happen to you or for you in order to be a Christian, a believer. You must have a working faith, a faith that saves, A faith that helps you to move up and to move out. That's works, right? I'm going to close with two things. A quote from A.W. Tozer. I don't know if you're familiar with Tozer, but if you get a chance to read any of his books, I highly recommend it. This is what he says. If your Christian conversion did not reverse the direction of your life, if it did not transform it, then you are not converted at all. You are simply a victim of the accept Jesus heresy. Let me explain a little bit about that. The accept Jesus part was, it was the thing going around, all you need to do is accept Jesus. All you need to do is accept Jesus into your life. Instead of making him your life, you just had to accept part of him. You need to accept his forgiveness, and you need to change in order to, by faith, in order to be saved. Matthew 7:21. And then we'll close. Starting at verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, judgment day, the last day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not attend church every Sunday? Weren't we there? Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat at that house. But it did not fall because it was been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, hearers only and not doers, right? Does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What are you doing with your faith? Is it time to take a step of faith? Action? Is it time to be what God's called you to be? If you're looking, I encourage you to come up and pray for God's guidance. I encourage you to come and pray and ask for forgiveness because he's right there willing and able and ready to take you right back. He will help you to be on the right path. He will be right there with you through whatever you're going through right now and whatever may come down the pike. All it takes is a step of faith. Would you join me in prayer as the praise team comes up? Father, we are truly grateful for the faith that you give us, for the love that was shown to us and is shown to us. We're thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us so abundantly in so many ways, that you have gifted us to be the people of God right here in Grass Lake in Jackson County. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses of that love and mercy and grace by our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and thank you, Lord. I want to invite you again to come out Tuesday nights for prayer. We do not take individual prayer requests that night. We do pray over 7 prayer requests, which I have right here in front of me so that I don't forget. And I give out the cards so you can pray over them all week. We're praying for the church, for the community, and for our country. We're looking for God's guidance. And the Bible calls the church to pray. So if you can make it out whichever night, I know that we all can't make it out every night. In fact, I'm going to miss a week, and I'm going to ask somebody else to fill in for me. But make it out as much as you can throughout this summer. And remembering what we're praying for is us. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercies, for the faith that you so graciously bestow upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the grace and the mercy and your justice that you made a way through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the time of fellowship that's coming and the food and the hands that prepared it. We praise you, Lord, because you alone are worthy of praise and glory and honor, for you are God, Savior, and King. And we give you praise and ask these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.